Welcome, everybody. Sorry about that. Welcome to Redacted on this spooky Halloween. Seems appropriate that we had a little bit of a false start and darkened screen. I'm Dustin Anderson. Welcome in to your Stranger Things episode on this spooky Halloween. My kid said, "Daddy, you got to dress up for your show tonight." I said, "But I got a lot of serious stories I got to cover." I said, "Okay, I will wear my Stranger Things outfit to kick off the show." Natalie's not here tonight.
I did too.
You did? You got it? Let me see.
I dressed as a Redacted Plus member today. I am.
Love it. So. You've got the, you know, silence equals complicity t-shirt and the hat. Let me see the hat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me see the hat. There we go. There's the Redacted hat. Oh, yeah, there we go. That's Dustin. Yes, if you're not familiar with Dustin from Stranger Things. Great, great show. Yeah, so got my thinking cap. This is my son's thinking cap, by the way. My son Miles gave me his hat tonight. So welcome in, everyone, to your spooky edition of Redacted on this, what is it today? Tuesday edition. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Natalie is off tonight. She's been dealing with all kinds of kids stuff with Halloween, so you're stuck with me tonight. But we've got a lot, and David and Philip and Grim is also here, but we got a lot of news to get to here on your spooky Tuesday. We're going to be looking at the latest attacks, Houthi rebels attacking Israel, vowing to continue the barrage of missiles into Israel until they stop their Gaza incursion. Europe basically going on high alert. Germany saying, well, Europe is heading for a war and we better be prepared for that. Putin weighing in on all of this, saying this is the end of the unipolar United States backed world order. Sure as hell feels like we're entering into World War III territory right now, as there are terror alerts being scattered around the world right now. I hope you and your family are safe and are prepared and protected, for crying out loud. Also, we're going to talk about Ukraine, because Time Magazine has just dropped a bombshell of a story on what is happening with inside the Zelensky government. And we're going to look at where the money is going. Is there money even drying up inside of Ukraine? Will the United States be sending more money to Ukraine? We will look at that. We're also going to look at the January 6th cover-up. You know, we were surprised that, I think we were surprised that we should have had, 14,000 hours of footage, behind-the-scenes footage of what actually happened that day. We were surprised that, this footage hasn't been released yet. Matt Gaetz said it was coming. He said Kevin McCarthy had promised it. Of course, Kevin McCarthy is gone now. So what's going to happen to getting answers about January 6th? Plus, we're going to look at that awful hockey, I'm going to call it a murder, on the ice. But the media was very quick to make a decision as to how this thing unfolded. We're going to look at all of that and more as Redacted starts right now. So happy Halloween to all of you guys. I hope you guys are having a good holiday, or you guys are doing stuff with the kids on this holiday. We decorated the studio here, the Redacted studio. It looks pretty good, pretty good. What's your favorite Halloween candy? Drop it in the comments below. I have to say mine is always going to be Reese's Pieces or Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Any of the Reese's family.
I messed
Reese's.
Up.
You messed up? What do you mean?
I got candy for trick-or-treaters, and there's those little Snickers in there. And I can't stop eating them.
So, kids ring the doorbell and they're like, oh, sorry, kids. I've eaten all the candy.
No, yeah. I'm just going to literally be like, take it all.
Put on a suit.
I don't remember the last time I ate candy. So I don't eat candy. So I don't remember the last time I ate it.
Wow, you're a stick in the mud. Just eat salad.
I'm boring.
You're the guy that gives out salad sticks or something like on Halloween.
I just give out dental floss. I give you a dental floss and a just Super Bowl.
Rip off a piece of an iceberg lettuce.
Yeah, you were the family that gave the apples. Remember, always knew that, like, on the block there was always a family that gave out an apple or something.
Yeah, and when you got home, they were all soft because they had been bruised by everything else in your bag,
beaten up by all the candy in there. Exactly. Yeah, Halloween memories. It's so funny, going around door to door, I used to wear those, what is it, the Funko masks? I forget, that had like the little rubber band with the staple on the side that used to break or snap on your face. Well, I don't know what the name of those things were, but the good old days. The good old days when you could just walk around the neighborhood. Didn't worry about creeps out there. Freaks and creeps is what we got in 2023. Hey, we've got a lot of news to get to today. We really do. So we've got a lot of big stories that I want to cover. We're going to cover what's going on in Israel, what's going on in Lebanon at this hour, what's going on in Egypt at this hour. We're also going to look at Ukraine. We're going to look at Canada. We've got a lot of things to cover. But first, let me tell you about our daily newsletter. I would love for all of you to subscribe. All of the kids, when you're out trick-or-treating, all of them, they were coming to the round the doors, and they were all saying, hey, we all subscribe to the Redacted newsletter. It's our favorite newsletter. You just got to go to redacted.inc. You put in your email address, and then you'll receive a welcome email from me. It's just my email, clayton@redacted.inc. So add me to your VIP list. It might go to your spam folder. Gmail has labeled us as dangerous, so it might go into your dangerous folder, I guess, for telling the truth. That's a problem. So, you know, do that. Make sure you grab it and drag it into your inbox. And then that way you'll have the newsletter first thing tomorrow morning on Wednesday morning. And we cover about four or five of the big stories of the day. And we try to have a lot of fun. Also give you some big stories the mainstream media isn't covering. Anyway, go to redacted.inc to sign up and become a part of our great community here. It's a perfect way to start your day. And you can read it in about 5 or 10 minutes. So that's the Redacted newsletter. Good to see everyone who's joining us all around. People, yeah, Caramello. I don't know. Painted Sky says Caramello. What's that? What I don't
know. Caramello chocolate?
Caramello
is
chocolate?
That the, I think Caramello
is a little like kind
a
of
really
round
light thing of chocolate and a layer of chocolate with caramel in the middle.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Isn't that those? I'm thinking of Rolos is what I'm thinking of.
Is yeah, it's kind of like Rolos, but it's not. It's a much softer caramel, I believe.
Hmm. Yeah, that sounds like a grandmother style candy. I bet Natalie would love that. She always like when we always play this game where we go like to dinner or something and we pick the desserts. She always chooses like the grandmother dessert. Like if it's like a caramel pecan pie.
Carrot cake?
No, that would be me. It's something like something like that my grandmother would eat. You know, if there was like a Werther's original pie, she would eat that.
My grandmother ate Werther's original. My grandfather, though, he was a York's peppermint patty guy.
Those make me sick, actually. All right, let's get to the news, shall we? Well, we are watching World War III unfolding right before our eyes. This afternoon, Germany says, well, we need to prepare for war across Europe. So that's great news. And just a few hours ago, take a look at your screen here, new video emerged showing the amassing of hundreds of Israeli armored vehicles and tanks ready for the ground invasion of Gaza. Just look at this. Just look at this. You know, when people say, oh, you know, Israel doesn't have a lot of tanks. Okay. That's a lot of tanks. That's a lot of armor preparing to go in there. And, of course, what are they ready to do? They are ready to, of course, carry out the total destruction of Gaza. That's exactly what they're doing for the ground invasion. They're going to roll over everything. And right now, the United Nations actually says that women and children account for 70% of all of those killed in Gaza. 70% since the conflict began. Women and children account for about 70% of those killed in the Gaza Strip since the beginning of the escalation of the conflict, according to the United Nations. And yesterday, the United Nations voted against a ceasefire. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says no to a ceasefire. So no peace is coming. And
now, could you imagine, just imagine for 1 second, if this is what Russia was doing, we would be attacking them tomorrow. If they were doing this and they started a ground force of this magnitude into Ukraine, the United States would be in there. Why are we not going into Israel? We're pretty much backing this.
No, these are American weapons. These are American weapons that are being used. These are American bombs that are being used. You heard the Raytheon earnings call that I played for you the other day where Raytheon admitted that the Israeli incursion in Gaza is good for business. So of course, you know, of course, they're not going to do anything about that. Yesterday, of course, as I mentioned, the United Nations voted against a ceasefire. So, and the Pope has called for a ceasefire. It's not going to happen. Just about 3 hours ago, Iranian-backed Houthi rebels declared war on Israel. So we have that layer now added into this. The Houthi military spokesman says they are going to rain down large numbers of missiles and drones on Israeli cities, promising the attacks will not stop, they say. Listen.
عن القوات المسلحة اليمنية بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال تعالى فلا عدوان إلا على الظالمين صدق الله العظيم لليوم الخامس والعشرين يشهد العالم ما يجري في فلسطين المحتلة وما يتعرض له قطاع غزة من عدوان إسرائيلي أمريكي غاشم حيث المجازر اليومية والإبادة الجماعية والدمار الشامل والحصار الخانق كل ذلك أمام مرأى ومسمع العالم وبدعم أمريكي غربي لا محدود للكيان المجرم ثم ما يلاقيه قطاع غزة من ضعف النظام الرسمي العربي.
So, oops, sorry about that. He also blasted the United States for funding Israel's butchering in Gaza. Intense fighting is also coming from the tunnels underneath Gaza, where Hamas fighters are launching rocket attacks at Israel. RT actually got some unbelievable access and sent a reporter into the massive underground caves. I just want you to watch a few moments of this, because you're not going to see this on CNN. This here's a reporter going into the massive underground cave structures. Watch.
Sorry, there's no audio.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Sorry, there's the audio is missing for some reason, but it says the walls are made of cement in addition to the arched ceilings. These tunnels are a lot of strength, have a lot of strength. Look how massive these are. He says the floor is also generally made of cement. And look, do you see how far down he went into these caves? I mean, unbelievable. He said all military activities come from these places, the group confirms. And he says, they are highly prepared to deter Israel, says the member of the Hamas unit that gave them this tour. I'm actually really surprised that they would show this. An attack on tunnels that includes brigade members from segments of society, equivalent to a basic mission completed by infiltrating behind enemy lines missions. I'm not exactly sure. But anyway, you know, think about how far down this is. And you can just see like the reinforced walls and the cement structures. Of course, Israel says they've been bombarding these, but they're so far down that they're not causing any damage, it seems. And as Israeli sources have told me, they absolutely do not want to go near these tunnels because they know these tunnels like the back of their hand, and it would be an absolute bloodbath on the part of Israel. Israeli soldiers being destroyed, dealing with booby-trapped tunnels, and it would just be an absolute disaster. So that's what's underneath Gaza right now. Meanwhile, what's going to happen in Egypt? The Israeli plan, of course, leaked last week, has now been spread out all over the place. It's kind of an amazing leak of a document from the Israeli intelligence plan, which is to push 2.3 million people out of Gaza into Egypt. So here is the plan. An Israeli minister in a concept paper proposes transferring Gaza civilians to Egypt's Sinai Peninsula. And as we talked about yesterday in an interview with Scott Ritter, he said, you know, this would be an act of war. I mean, what Egypt would say is that this is an act of war. Watch.
Well, first of all, the move into Egypt, I believe, is a non-starter. I think that's an act of war. Egypt would view it as an act of war. And, you know, Hamas doesn't have any tanks. Egypt has hundreds of them, modern tanks. And they have two divisions that are being brought up to combat readiness on the Sinai. If Israel really does want to commit suicide, this is one really good way to do it. Because if Egypt sends 600 tanks into the Negev, Israel's got no response.
So Egypt won't stand for it. But why are they building a field hospital on the Egyptian side? This is in northern Egypt, right near the Rafah border crossing. According to the Turkish press this afternoon, Egypt is building this large field hospital near the border. So they're anticipating something. I mean, shit is hitting the fan as we speak, and sort of moment-to-moment updates. We'll have more on this in tomorrow's show. Let me know your thoughts on this in the comments below. We've got more news to get to here on your Tuesday. We're going to talk about Ukraine. We're going to talk about the January 6th cover-up and when we're supposed to see the actual footage that we were promised by Republican members of Congress. When will that happen? We'll get to that in just a moment. Sylvia, thank you for subscribing. When you do subscribe, your name pops up here on the big screen. So Sylvia became a redacted member. Good to see you. Just subscribe or follow us there. So I really appreciate it. Again, Natalie is off tonight dealing with the kids and Halloween stuff. Let's talk about Ukraine now. Since all of the headlines are about Israel these days, Vladimir Zelensky is apparently getting very desperate up there in Ukraine. Now, according to a damning new article out this week from Time Magazine, these are Time Magazine's words. According to Time Magazine, here's the front cover of this. Nobody believes in our victory like I do. Nobody. And according to Time Magazine, U.S. money is drying up. Hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians have been killed in NATO's war. What was Eastern Ukraine, of course, now belongs to Russia. The war is over, according to Time Magazine. And apparently everyone knows this, says Time Magazine. Everyone but Vladimir Zelensky knows this. In fact, Time Magazine paints Zelensky as delusional. We'll get to that part of the story in a moment. But first, we should point out that Time Magazine has an incredibly cozy relationship with the CIA. In fact, it's well documented, even going back to the 1970s when the New York Times blew the roof off the dump and an investigation showed it. All you need to do is even go to CIA's own website. Even talks about how Time planted stories given to them by the CIA. The Cato Institute did a deep dive on this, showing that the New York Times, CBS, and Time Magazine have the three closest relationships to the intelligence community of any of the major newspapers and reporting agencies out there. Taking money and direction from the CIA is Time Magazine. So when you see a damning cover story about Zelensky in the CIA magazine, it should raise some eyebrows. Why is the CIA-backed Time Magazine now painting this really grim picture of Ukraine? Is it to garner support? Or is it to lay the groundwork for something more nefarious, which we'll get to? So Time Magazine was granted unbelievable access to Zelensky's inner circle of advisors and aides, people close to him, and supporters for this article, support in this article. And it shows an unhinged leader that is out of touch with reality. Again, this is Time Magazine saying this. So why is Time Magazine painting a damning picture of Zelensky? It's a good question, actually, because former member of the CIA, Larry Johnson, told me recently that he believes that the CIA is positioning Zelensky to be taken out. Listen.
The West has been praising Zelensky as the new Winston Churchill, which just, you know, goes to underscore the level of delusion that has possessed the West. But now you're getting in all quarters, in Washington and London, Germany, and throughout the rest of NATO, these recriminations being expressed about Ukraine's failure to press the counteroffensive, failure to listen to the advice of the West, that they're always begging for more. So this, you know, this is starting to become a more common thing. So I think The next natural step, whether the CIA does it or the CIA encourages somebody to do it, I don't think Zelensky's long for the world. He's not the kind of guy that I think is going to be allowed to go off into exile where he'll be sunning himself down in Miami Beach.
So oft killed, assassinated by these intelligence operatives. Seems like they're laying the groundwork for that. As someone in the chat just says, someone in the chat just says, Comajor says the CIA used Zelensky and is now throwing him out in the trash. Now, that's exactly what it appears like. Time Magazine says, quote, Zelensky feels betrayed by his own Western allies. His belief in Ukraine's ultimate victory over Russia worries some of his advisors. He deludes himself, a close aide says. We're out of options. We're not winning. But try telling him that. It's over. Ouch. So delusional. Delusional, they say.
Like, what your first clue should have been when they kept denying you entry into NATO. Like, that should have been your first clue that you just weren't a long-term play.
Well, yeah. I mean, historically, the first clue should have been you're dealing with the U.S. Like, right. That right there should give you pause. Like, you really got to make sure you know what you're getting into there.
Well, historically, when Victoria Nuland comes to town, like, that should have been your first spooky alarm bell going off that maybe this isn't going to be up to par. Using, you know, creepy Victoria Nuland, warmongering Victoria Nuland, coup-causing Victoria Nuland. That should have been your first alarm bells. But they got in bed with the wrong person. Can you imagine being in bed with Victoria Nuland? Ugh.
I hope you mean figuratively, because I know.
That'll creep you out.
Thank you for that image. Thank you.
Hey, it's Halloween. I have to give you some creepy images of that. So he's delusional, according to Time magazine. Like, they can choose what they print, and they chose to print that his closest aides are calling Zelensky delusional. They printed that. So according to Time magazine, this is the same Time magazine, by the way, that named him as Person of the Year. The Spirit of Ukraine. Person of the Year. Among other cover stories. How many cover stories have they given the guy? How Zelensky leads. Do you remember this effusive, loving story about how he leads his country and how he's going to lead his country to victory? I guess something changed.
Those were some beautiful pictures they got in his bunker. You know, those really nice photo shoots they had down there with his wife. And it was just very beautiful setup. And they really tried to, you know,
they lit it well. Beautiful cameras. Mm-hmm. It was like very soft lighting. They made it look really, you know, really beautiful.
And the music score was beautiful.
The score. It's a magazine. There's no music. So I guess something changed over there at the CIA magazine. Time also reported that Zelensky's top advisors admit the truth about corruption in Ukraine, saying people are stealing like there's no tomorrow. People at the highest level of Ukraine's government are lining their pockets with cash, according to Time magazine, as taxpayers prepare to fund yet another year of that nation's war against Russia, an advisor to Ukrainian President Zelensky said. Time magazine published a lengthy story on Monday about reporter Simon Schuster's recent visit there to war-torn country. And he says, wow, the morale of these leading Ukraine nearly 2 years is, you know, it's unbelievable, the insights into the morale of these leading Ukraine. According to an unnamed senior advisor to Zelensky, people at the top are stealing like there's no tomorrow. So how, as Americans watching this right now, and, you know, members of the Europe who've sent him money as well, you got to think about all of that corruption. How does it feel to know that Americans are struggling to pay their bills, but you're sending taxpayer dollars to Ukraine, and then these corrupt politicians in Zelensky's inner circle are just lining their pockets with it, buying all sorts of luxury villas and houses and cars and boats? How does that feel? And the United States is itching to send more money, perhaps. We'll see. And also, Time reports, Time's not done. Time really dumped a whole load on this guy, and it's unbelievable. They're also reporting that Zelensky is about to fire the guys in charge of the failed counteroffensive. So Time's admitting that it's been a disaster, and they're admitting that guys are about to be fired. Claims that Ukrainian authorities are preparing to dismiss a minister and a general in charge of the counteroffensive. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson does not want money going to Ukraine. He's the new speaker, of course. And despite what Mitch McConnell wants, Turtle Boy Mitch McConnell wants $105 billion for Ukraine. And they want it for Israel and Taiwan in one big package, does Mitch McConnell. But the new Speaker of the House only wants money going to Israel. According to Punch Bowl News, Mike Johnson, the new Speaker of the House, is pushing towards a vote on Thursday in the House on Israel funding alone. So just Israeli funding. This would be paid for by cutting an equal amount from the Inflation Reduction Act, which is amazing, right? So they're going to cut from the American Inflation Reduction Act and then take that money out and send it to Israel. The House GOP leadership team, considering a host of bipartisan pay-fors, but opted to cut IRS money with the hopes of dividing Democrats and solidifying GOP support. So desperate people do desperate things, and I'm worried that Zelensky is going to do something desperate in Ukraine. We've already seen attacks increasing on residential areas in Donetsk over the past 24 hours. Early this morning, bombs hit apartment buildings there in what was formerly eastern Ukraine, is now Russian-controlled and officially voted to become part of Russia, so Russia considers it Russian territory. Those were bombed again overnight. Even Zelensky's admitting that, yes, in fact, they've been using American weapons to attack Crimea, as we covered in the newsletter today, which is, of course, a violation of what President Biden said. You're not allowed to do that. Use American weapons to attack Crimea. But it doesn't matter. They're doing it anyway. So what do you think is going to happen? You know, they're fading from the headlines. The House of Representatives doesn't want to send Ukraine money. Time magazine has Zelensky on the front cover in this disastrous piece about his corruption. He's delusional. The CIA backed Time magazine.
I think we'll know when it's all over, when the article that Sean Penn went back for his Grammy. When that comes out, we'll know.
His Grammy.
It's done.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see. What do you guys think is going to happen? Let us know in the comments below. What is up next for Zelensky? What is the next stage? Are we about to see some big desperate move on the part of Ukraine? Launching some sort of crazy false flag attack? Something crazy? I mean, hey, what rattled the cages for the world to certainly turn all cameras and media attention towards Israel? Was a terror attack by Hamas in Israel. A massive attack that absolutely destroyed the Israeli military at these outposts.
Well, and he offered to attack over there, you know, with our weapons to join, right?
He's like, wait a minute, yeah, me attacking Russia is not really working. Maybe I'll go attack Hamas. I'll just give me weapons. I'll go there. I'll go to Iran. He even said I'll go attack Iran. I don't know. We'll have to see what's going to happen. Let us know in the comments below. We've got more news to get to here on your Halloween edition of Redacted. Good to see all of you guys. Thank you guys for subscribing, by the way. If you do subscribe, your name pops up here on the big screen. So thank you. And thanks to all of the new graphics that we have here, to the team who's done an amazing job building out the whole new look and feel of Redacted. So thank you guys. Someone in the chat said, Gorm the Slayer said, hey, Clayton, in the first block, there was nothing about Lebanon attacking. Did you forget that, Clayton? No, I actually played a whole soundbite by the Houthi military leader from Lebanon who launched these missile attacks into Israel and says that they are going to continue to attack. So rockets fired from both Yemen and Lebanon this afternoon. But we heard from the Houthi leader there in Lebanon speaking about how missiles are going to rain down on Israel and they're not going to stop. That was from Lebanon this afternoon, late this afternoon. And we're going to talk about the January 6th cover-up in just a moment. We're also going to talk about how Justin Trudeau is basically lying to the Canadian people, completely backtracking on this climate proposals on home heating oil and such. On the carbon tax, we'll talk about all of that. Plus this hockey murder. We're going to dive deep into this story, and it's really fascinating, some of the details on this that have come out over the past 48 hours. And the media response to this has been stunning, and I'll get your take on that. We will talk about that coming up here. And I apologize, guys. I'm losing my voice. One of our viewers said, Clayton, please go and gargle with salt water. So I did that this morning, and it actually helped a lot. So I've been doing that all morning. I need to do it tonight after. So thank you for your kind words on that. We're going to get to all that news. But first, you've heard about those weight loss injections that produce incredibly fast results, right? They work by lowering glucose, reducing fat, curbing appetite. If your goal is weight loss, but you're not into shots, well, then a group of doctors created something remarkable. It's a new weight loss supplement called Lean. And here's why it's so encouraging. They studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to help maintain healthy glucose levels, help burn fat, by converting fat into energy and then reducing the appetite. Now, if you struggle to lose weight, healthy glucose levels, burning fat, and eating less are the three keys. Adding Lean, L-E-A-N, to a healthy diet and exercise program could be a game changer for you. So let's get you started with 15% off and free rush shipping right now. Visit takelean.com. It's right there on your screen. Takelean.com. Enter the code REDACTED. That's promo code REDACTED. Go to takelean.com and try it out. Get 15% off and free rush shipping. Statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. The product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease and is not suitable or alternative for care from a healthcare provider. Once again, go to takelean.com. Well, thousands of Americans have been rounded up and prosecuted after going to the Capitol on January 6th, and the media went ballistic, of course, calling it a violent insurrection. Republicans said we would see the over 14,000 hours of hidden video that would show us and give us a real awareness of what actually happened on that day. Of course, it was being kept from all of us. Here was Matt Gaetz almost a year ago. This is January of 2023. Listen to Matt Gaetz saying we would get to see this footage.
Matt, do you anticipate allowing the dogs to be released, if you will, against this fourth branch of government?
Yeah, Kevin McCarthy told us he's going to get the evidence out in front of the American people, and that means releasing the 14,000 hours of tapes that have been hidden that I think would give more full context to that day rather than the cherry-picked moments that the January 6th committee tried to use to inflame and further divide our country. So, yes, I do believe that part of this deal is a concession that we are going to get the truth out in front of the American people.
Well, that hasn't happened, and we still, to this day, have not seen that footage. More arrests are still expected against Americans, and we're still waiting on the documents from the DOJ and these videotapes from the DOJ and Congress. All of it is being kept from the American people. One man who had his life turned upside down that day is Brandon Straka, the founder of Walkaway. He was there to give a speech on January 6th. He never went into the Capitol. He was there on the grounds. And then a few weeks later, the FBI showed up at his house and arrested him and had his life turned upside down. Brandon is back here on the show because a couple of things. First of all, you launched a brand new app for Walkaway after being banned on Facebook. So your Facebook group was banned, I guess, for telling the truth, telling these stories. So you launch a brand new app, which now has tens of thousands of users, which is amazing. So I hope all of our audience goes and downloads the Walkaway app. Also, you're leading a big new event, which is a five-year anniversary of Walkaway, which we'll get to here in just a little bit. But Brandon, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. And I think it's important, you know, to do interviews like this and talk about this because, to your point, yes, my life was definitely turned upside down. But part of what I want to do here is to show people you can recover and move forward after things like this happen to you. You know, you don't have to stay kind of stuck in this perpetual state of being a victim of the DOJ.
Right, right. No, you've done amazing work in the face of this. I think a lot of other people would have cowered and crumpled up. I mean, I think it's the true test of a human being that you can overcome adversity and rise and be stronger as a result of it. So, you know, we're proud of the work that you've done here. So we'll get to the event here in a moment, and we'll get to the app in a moment. But I want to talk to you first a couple of big news items that happened over the past 24 hours. Of course, number one, Donald Trump being actively, they're trying to keep him off of the 2024 ballot, trying to paint him as leading an insurrection, that they would invoke this as part of the Constitution, that no one who's led an insurrection, of course, can run for president again. That's one big piece of this puzzle. And then the other piece of these videotapes, the 14,000 hours of video footage that Matt Gaetz and Republicans had said we would absolutely see. Now Kevin McCarthy is out of the picture. He's no longer Speaker of the House. We have a new Speaker of the House. We still don't have this footage. Do you think we're ever going to see these hours of footage of what happened that day?
I honestly don't know. This is something that we've been told many times by many Republicans and many positions of leadership would be coming. And then there's always some sort of like little backhanded trick with it. Like when they released it, but they released it to Tucker Carlson. Then the next thing they did was they released it, but then they just released it to Julie Kelly and John Solomon. So it's like, are you going to release it to the public or not? And for a while, I was really concerned about them releasing it to the public because there are these massive networks of people like sedition hunters and capital whatever hunters who literally have no lives. They have nothing going on in their lives other than to comb through this footage and try to identify people who walked inside the Capitol so that they can report them to the FBI and destroy their lives. But I think, you know, honestly, at this point, here we are all these years later, the narrative of January 6th is so controlled by the left and it's so hyperbolic to the point where we're literally talking about removing a presidential candidate from the ballot for insurrection. I guess at this point, I say there's nothing on those tapes that could be worse at this point than the narrative of what the left has made up about January 6th.
True. And of course, their narrative is the one that sits out there. Most Americans see it that way. The Biden administration has actively been trying to campaign on this idea that these are pro-MAGA white supremacist extremists who are upending the United States of America, never mind the fact that our borders are wide open and tens of thousands of people are pouring across our borders every day. And we've been covering it actively here on the show. But you guys who went to the Capitol on that day, you're the greatest threat to democracy.
Yeah, and it's funny because when I went to the Capitol on January 6th, I actually shot 13 videos. I did street interviews with people, and this was after the video that got me raided by the FBI. You know, to remind your audience, I didn't go inside the Capitol. I didn't engage in any violence. I did not witness any violence, and I didn't even witness any rioting. I mean, no sound-minded person, reasonable person, could ever construe that I was a part of a riot or witnessed a riot. I was with a group of people outside. The doors were open. Some of them were trying to push their way inside. The rest of them were outside shooting videos just like I was. You know, there may have been some disorderliness. I could say that, but it certainly was not a riot. But I nonetheless, after that 8 minutes that I stood outside the Capitol, I shot 13 more videos doing street interviews, just talking to people, asking them what brought them to DC, why they were there, what they saw. And it was interesting to me how many people there were Black and Hispanic and Asian and gay. And I mean, this was certainly not a white event or a white supremacy event. There was every type of person there on January 6th, all together, all unified under the belief that, you know, something was very wrong with the 2020 election and they wanted to stand up for democracy and the American voter. But this was by no means a white supremacist event. I mean, there was every type of person there.
A few weeks ago, we saw, following what happened on October 7th with the Hamas attacks in Israel, we saw the Capitol overtaken with pro-Palestinian, some said pro-Hamas protesters. We now know actually that the group, a large portion of those group, according to the New York Post, were funded in part by George Soros, who came into the Capitol and held up, you know, saw they were calling for a ceasefire, but they basically took over the Capitol and there were arrests. There was a lot of people online saying, well, I hope these people are held to the same standard as the January 6th individuals who came into the Capitol that day. What did you think when you saw that footage from the Capitol of these protesters coming in and basically shutting down the Capitol on just about a week and a half ago?
Well, I think like the majority of people in this country, I'm so used to the double standard at this point that I recognized that there were striking similarities between what was going on there and what happened on January 6th. And I'd say even in some circumstances, what they were doing was worse because they were actually in there screaming, banging, causing a commotion. Now, I'm very aware that there are people on January 6th who broke windows and struggled with police officers. I'm not excusing that. But the vast majority of people who actually entered the Capitol walked around and took pictures. They weren't screaming and banging and doing things like that. Nonetheless, the people who walked inside the Capitol were charged with this very unique felony charge that they're calling obstruction of an official proceeding, which carries a 20-year prison sentence, potential 20-year prison sentence. So some people have been convicted of that charge and are in prison right now, serving years in prison on a felony of obstructing an official proceeding.
On January 6th.
January 6th, a lot of January 6th protesters are in prison right now. My question is, why are the pro-Palestine protesters not facing these consequences? Because we were in the middle of voting for a new Speaker of the House. Now, that's the second in line to the President of the United States. That's an official proceeding that was taking place, and they had to stop that official proceeding and get the Congress people out of there. I know that some of the pro-Palestine protesters were arrested, but from what I understand, the majority of them are, if they weren't let go entirely, are going to be facing like a citation and a fine, as opposed to J6 protesters who got felony obstruction of an official proceeding, parading and picketing inside the Capitol. I mean, they were, the pro-Palestine people were literally parading and picketing inside of the Capitol. And the other question that comes to mind is, how did they get in? I mean, there were hundreds of these protesters inside, and the Capitol Police actually released a statement later that day saying this is illegal and these protesters are not allowed to be here. They're not allowed to do this. Well, they all had to come in go through metal detectors, be screened. Nobody noticed that hundreds of pro-Palestine protesters were coming into the building at the same time.
Right. Or maybe George Soros made a phone call, and that's why it went all very easily for them that day. Hard to say. So, yeah, there's a double standard, the hypocrisy of this. We're still waiting for this January 6th footage to come out from Republicans. Hopefully we can reignite a fire under their behinds. We know members of Congress watch this show. Senator Chuck Grassley, hey, I know you watch the show. Please push to get that footage released to the American people so we can actually see this. But you're also here because we're celebrating. The 5-year anniversary of Walk Away is coming up here in just a few weeks. On November 10th to the 12th, you're holding a big anniversary event in West Palm Beach, Florida. Tell us about the event. And for those that don't understand what Walk Away is, can you explain to our audience what Walk Away is?
Yeah, so Walk Away is a movement that I started in 2018 to encourage people to walk away from the Democratic Party as I did. I was a lifelong Democrat liberal who walked away. And really, honestly, it was the election of Donald Trump and the reaction from the media and reaction from so many people on the left that was the catalyst for opening my eyes, because I just felt like the reaction to his election was, and I was feeling it too, by the way. I mean, I was very angry and scared and outraged, but when I saw the sources that I trusted my whole life, like CNN, MSNBC, New York Times, etc., just go so far off the deep end, it sort of signaled to me that something wasn't right, and I needed to try to figure out what it was. And so I kind of went on a long journey of research. And when I discovered ultimately that the media I'd been trusting my whole life was lying to me and deceiving me about almost everything I believed, I decided to not only walk away, but basically kind of create a movement and a community of support for other people who were feeling the same way, because I knew I couldn't possibly be the only person. And so I launched a Facebook group in 2018, and I put out a 6-minute video talking about why I was walking away and encouraged other people to make videos and share their stories if they were feeling the same way. And over the course of just a couple of years, the group grew to over 500,000 people, about 511,000. And we had tens of thousands of written and video testimonials from people sharing their stories about why they were walking away. So it primarily started as a social media testimonial campaign, but then we really got legs and we started doing live events, debates, town halls. We started doing educational videos, traveling the country, getting into colleges. So we've had a footprint really everywhere, and especially in minority communities. But, you know, in January of 2021, Facebook banned our group after we'd grown to 511,000 people. And that was right around the same time that the FBI kicked my door down and put me in jail. So a lot of things were kind of shattered at the same time. And so it's been a couple of years of rebuilding everything for me. And so that's why it's so important to me at this point to do this 5-year anniversary event, because we have been back out and doing what we do for the last year and a half. And we're not going to stop. I mean, it's, you know, it's been a very rough road the last couple of years, but I'm really pleased to have launched this app and to be having this celebration, basically to show people that, you know, no matter what they do to you, you just can't stop. You have to keep going.
Well, we're showing it here on the screen. Here is the app, and you can download it on the App Store on your iPhone or Android device. And it really is a replacement for Facebook, because we know our audience knows how we feel about Facebook around here. So, and their collusion, of course, with the Biden administration. So you get an access to this app, and you can be able to tell your story there now on your own app, right?
Right. So the app is called Walkaway Social. And as you said, it's available on the Apple App Store, the Google Play Store. So it can be used on any mobile device. And I'm very proud of it. People join it. And we have a testimonial group where people can share their stories, video or written, about, you know, why it's not just it's if you're walking away. But in the movement, there are, and I didn't make this up, but when a lot of conservatives start getting really excited about Walkaway, they coined this term that they call walk withs, meaning they're there to support and walk with people who walk away. And I thought it was really cool because that's kind of something they came up with on their own. And so it's if you're somebody who walked away, you can share your story. But oftentimes we have people, too, who walk with the lifelong conservatives and Republicans who love to share their stories, either about just why they're conservatives or why they encourage people to walk away. And honestly, a lot of people on the right now are feeling very fed up with the lack of courage and leadership from the Republican Party. And they're kind of vocalizing that as well. So it's a great sounding board, I think, for people all across the spectrum to talk about how they're feeling about what's going on culturally and politically in our country. We also have a discussion group on the app if people just want to, you know, share opinions, share articles, open up a conversation about whatever. We have state groups for all 50 states if people are running for office or if they want to organize a social event or a political event or an activism event. There's so much we can do with this app. So I really encourage everyone to, you know, at least check it out, load it. It's free to use, and Walk Away Social. Just check it out because I think you're really going to love it. It's pretty cool.
So if you're in West Palm Beach, Florida on November 10th through the 12th, you can come to the big event, big 5-year anniversary event. Where can people get tickets if they want to go to the event?
People can go to walkawayanniversary.com. It's our 5th anniversary event. It's a weekend of events, and we're calling it WalkaCon, like, I don't know, Comic-Con, like Politicon.
Right.
But this is WalkaCon. So Friday night is the big event. That's November 10th, and it's going to be our big showcase stage show. We have amazing speakers Friday, November 10th, like Lara Trump, Rudy Giuliani, Carrie Lake, Tudor Dixon, Matt and Mercedes Schlapp, David Harris Jr., and so many more. It's really going to be an incredible night. And then on Saturday, the 11th, we're doing a free Patriot rally down the road from Mar-a-Lago. We're doing a comedy roast event on Saturday night. I'm actually being roasted. And then on Sunday, we're doing a brunch with Carrie Lake. And then we're closing that out with a January 6th panel. We're actually going to have real defendants sharing real stories about January 6th. So people can come and enjoy the whole weekend. Or if they want to just come for one night, I really encourage them to come Friday night, November 10th. That's going to be our big night with all of our amazing speakers. And they can go to walkawayanniversary.com to get tickets. It's in West Palm Beach, Florida. And if they like, they can actually use promo code America to get a very significant discount on tickets.
Awesome. All right. Promo code America. Yeah. We'll have this linked up in the description below. So the big anniversary event again, November 10th in West Palm Beach, Florida, walkawayanniversary.com. Brandon, thank you so much for coming on the show, and thanks for your courage. Thanks for what you're doing with this platform and giving voice to people who are fed up with these, frankly, both of these political parties, but we know where we, you know, these corrupt politicians as well. Brandon, thanks so much. And I appreciate you joining us here on the show.
Well, and thank you too. And thank you for giving me a voice and a platform, because as much as I'm fighting back and coming back, it hasn't always been easy. You know, a lot of people, even on our side of the aisle, kind of run the other direction. So I want to say thank you so much for giving me a voice.
Absolutely. We are unafraid here on this show. So thank you, Brandon. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, Brandon. Really appreciate that. And hopefully everyone, you guys will go and download the app. I saw a bunch of people here in the chat saying they're downloading the app. I was on it earlier today. So great stuff there. So thanks, Brandon. And check out that event. Okay, we've got more news to get to here. We're going to talk about this hockey murder in just a moment. I just want to get your take on that because it's really fascinating how it's been developing over the past 48 hours. We'll talk about that. We're also going to look at Trudeau, Justin Trudeau up in Canada, backtracking on the carbon tax. Why? Why is he suddenly backtracking on this? Rishi Sunak did the same thing in the United Kingdom, backtracking on their climate policies. What's going on here? These are World Economic Forum guys, after all, right? These are the young prodigies, the future of the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab wannabes. So what's happening here? We'll talk about that. But first, do you have trouble going to sleep at night? I'm going to tell you, this has been a game changer for Natalie and I because, you know, we do the show and then it gets like kind of late. And we've been taking magnesium and it really helps go to sleep naturally. It feels fantastic. And if you go to magbreakthrough.com/redacted, you'll get 10% off. So, you know, are you one of those people? I know like my mom does this too, where she tries to go to sleep and like your brain is just running like nonstop and you can't shut it down. You're just constantly thinking of things you have to deal with, or you're worried about tomorrow and all of that stuff. Well, with magnesium, it's a natural way to kind of really help that nighttime routine ease into a better night's sleep than you've ever had before. Once I started taking Magnesium Breakthrough, my sleep completely changed. Now I have no problem falling asleep, and I wake up refreshed and energized. I take it right after the show when I'm going to bed. So for me personally, Magnesium Breakthrough has helped me solve some of my sleep problems. Natalie last night, actually, she was up dealing with some stuff, and then she's like, she took some magnesium and went right to sleep. It was really great. Unlike other magnesium supplements that might provide you with 1 to 2 forms of magnesium, actually, Magnesium Breakthrough contains all 7 forms of magnesium designed to help calm your mind, help you fall asleep and stay asleep and wake up refreshed. Over 75% of the population is magnesium deficient. And what most people don't know is that even if they're taking a magnesium supplement, they're still deficient because they're not getting all 7 forms of it. Magnesium Breakthrough is the ultimate way to give your body all 7 forms in one supplement. So don't miss out on the most exciting and most relaxing sleep you'll ever have with Magnesium Breakthrough. For an exclusive offer for our listeners, right now, go to magbreakthrough.com/redacted. That's magbreakthrough.com/redacted. Get 10% off right now when you go to magbreakthrough.com/redacted. Well, in Canada now, Justin Trudeau is suddenly backtracking on his carbon tax. Trudeau just announced a 3-year carbon tax exemption for home heating oil, also higher carbon tax rebates for people in rural areas. So is this just an admission now that these climate policies are nothing more than a joke? Let's ask David Creighton, journalist from Canada who writes at the Post Millennial, also Creighton's right on YouTube. David, it seems like these like climate Nazis are really starting to wake up and get a sense that all of these policies are not actually working. We first saw this with Rishi Sunak in the United Kingdom, having to walk back his policies there. Is this just an admission on the part of liberals in Canada that this stuff was a joke to begin with?
Oh, definitely, Clayton. And what's funny about this for me, or tragic, if you will, is that climate change is a existential threat, a looming catastrophe, except if there's some liberal seats involved and you're worried about getting reelected. Then suddenly you can put your carbon tax on hold for 3 years. Now, that would have been anathema to the Trudeau government just 6 months ago, because this is a disaster waiting to happen here, and we've got to do everything possible to stop climate change. And the carbon tax is something the Trudeau government touted as its major offense in the war on climate change. And of course, the whole thing is a big joke anyway, because Canada produces less than 5% of the world's global gas emissions. So even if all Canadians stopped driving their cars, stopped heating their homes, lived in caves, and turned off the lights, we would have little impact on the global greenhouse gas emissions factor. So of course it's a joke. And I can tell you, Trudeau was extremely concerned about losing a large part of his Liberal caucus in Atlantic Canada, because one MP, Ken McDonald from Newfoundland and Labrador, already voted twice in favor of Conservative Party motions to axe the carbon tax. So he was the beginning of the end in terms of the Liberals on the Atlantic, the East Coast of Canada, who were saying, we're not going to win the next election with a carbon tax in place. Do something about it. Ken McDonald said, why don't you put it on hold for 2 years, just in time, of course, for the next election. So Trudeau did one better. He's put it on hold for 3 years. Yeah. And hoping he's going to get reelected just in time to put it back in place, of course.
So what does this mean for Liberal? I mean, what does this mean for Canadians? Because at the heart of it, our Canadians probably have been filling their ears with complaints about this, saying, what are you going to do to us here in Canada? This is not what we want. Of course, this is all being driven by the World Economic Forum. Justin Trudeau, of course, is a stooge of the World Economic Forum. make no mistake about it. This is being driven directly by these guys and climate policies in New Zealand and Australia and the UK and the United States are all coming out of the World Economic Forum. So was he hearing, were Canadians voicing their opposition to this? And is that why they were worried about losing these seats?
Well, that's precisely what happened. The member of parliament from Labrador who decided he couldn't take it anymore said that's all he hears when he goes back to his riding. Now, if he's hearing this, so are about 24, 30 other MPs. Trudeau cannot afford to lose any seats in Atlantic Canada. He is losing in every other region in Canada, from British Columbia through the prairies to Ontario. And in Quebec, he's neck and neck with the Conservatives and the separatist Bloc Québécois. So he's in a very untenable position. So he's desperate to shore up whatever support he can. And he needs to retain those seats in Atlantic Canada's. But the spinoff of this, of course, is that once you hit that first domino, the rest of the dominoes start to collapse in turn. So suddenly, if it's okay for Atlantic Canada to have a pause on the carbon tax, how come it's not okay for the rest of Canada? So Saskatchewan now is saying they're going to withhold all carbon tax payments to the federal government until Trudeau agrees to take the carbon tax off of natural gas, which is being used by the rest of Canada. The oil that is impacting Atlantic Canada is basically irrelevant in terms of heating oil for the rest of the country. Most of Canadians are using natural gas. That has not been exempted from the carbon tax. That's obviously an intentional measure. It's based on how Trudeau getting political support, political expediency in Atlantic Canada. And it's not based on anything rational, anything that's scientific, anything that makes sense. And so BC now is saying, well, what about us? How come we're not getting a relaxation on this carbon tax? So once you admit that it's got nothing really to do with climate change, it's a political measure, and you can take it off or put it on at a whim, then people begin to wise up and say, hey, maybe this climate change thing isn't some existential threat. Maybe it's not a catastrophe 5 years in the offing, because Justin Trudeau doesn't seem too concerned if Atlantic Canadians have to pay less.
Oh, of course not. I love these carve-outs, the hypocrisy of these carve-outs for different things. Trudeau also announced measures to incentivize Canadians to install these electric heat pumps. And this reminds me, of course, of what the United States is trying to do. Biden rolling out, we're going to talk about this on the show today as well, which is Biden's dream house, where you're going to retrofit all of your appliances. Americans can barely afford to pay their mortgages and rent right now, but he wants everyone to retrofit different appliances to be more ecologically friendly. So your heat pump, of course, would, the government said, switching from oil to heat pumps in Canada would save homeowners up to $2,500 a year on energy bills, Canadian, $2,000. So, but what about, of course, the cost of installing these heat pumps to begin with, and what sort of a boondoggle it creates for the companies that are manufacturing these heat pumps? We always forget, I love hearing Kamala Harris and these other liberals in the United States saying, yeah, you should just all install solar panels on your roof. That will, of course, mm-hmm. save you a lot of money. Great. Where do you come up with $50,000 to install solar panels on your roof? And this is what Trudeau wants to do with these heat pumps.
Well, this is another cruel joke, actually, because I looked into this as soon as we heard that you could get a free heat pump if you're making less than $30,000 a year. So if you're making less than $30,000 a year, you're probably not a homeowner. In fact, I'd say there's 100% chance you're not a homeowner. So why would you want a heat pump if you don't own a home? So this again is a big charade, a big sham. Other people are going to get a $250 rebate on their heat pump. But guess what the heat pump costs? $20,000 U.S.
What?
Installed. $20,000 U.S. Now, Trudeau says you're going to get that all back in cost savings. Well, even if you're making $2,000 your cost saving, that's like 10 years before you get your investment back. But here's the kicker. The heat pump is not only non-carbon free, it actually adds to the carbon problem, but it doesn't work efficiently in Canadian style temperatures. Anything below 0 degrees Fahrenheit, the heat pump is inefficient and doesn't work properly. So that means essentially in most of Canada, with the exception of the West Coast, where temperatures range from minus 20 to minus 40 degrees Celsius, the heat pump's not going to be working very well. So yeah, you might save a bit of money on your oil or your natural gas costs, but you're going to be freezing because the heat pump is not going to be generating any heat. So this is a cruel joke on Canadians. And once again, Trudeau announced this with the typical smirk, the typical insouciant, I don't care attitude of, isn't this nice of me to offer you this gift? And what a nice idea. I'm telling you how to save money in your household. I don't think most Canadians trust Justin Trudeau to tell them how to save money in their household because he knows nothing except how to waste it. And yet the whole thing, it's turning out to be a cruel joke, as I've said, and it really is a sham. But more than that, it's such a cynical political ploy because Justin Trudeau has built his political career on censorship, but also on fighting climate change. He even brought in a former Greenpeace activist into the cabinet as his environment minister to show the world how much he was dedicated to stopping climate change. And the whole thing is unraveling before his eyes right now because he's so politically desperate just to keep those 35 seats in Atlantic Canada. And the rest of Canada is saying, hey, what about us? Right. And justifiably so, because it's really an outrage. And people can see this as political cynicism at its worst.
Well, I know the conservatives there have looked to scrap this carbon tax altogether. So we'll see if that takes place in the next election in 2025, if what happens to Canada, if Canada comes to its senses up there. I mean, this sort of retrofitting appliances reminds me of Boris Johnson telling, you know, Britons to buy a new tea kettle because it would save them money. He even said it. He laughed about it when he said it, but he really meant it. Like, you know, go out and buy a new tea kettle. This is going to save you a lot of money. This is how you will get out of a recession. This is how you will be able to put more food on the table, is to buy a new tea kettle, a new environmentally friendly tea kettle, and save money on all of your tea every day. It's absurd. And maybe, you know, the cynical part of me in Canada, you know, they want to, if these heat pumps don't work when it gets below zero, maybe that's part of his approach as well, since he's expanded the MAID program. Now 4% of all deaths in Canada are as a result of assisted suicide. So maybe this is another approach to his MAID program. We'll just turn off the heat and we'll just add to our MAID program up there.
Well, you know, we just learned today that Trudeau is also cutting fertilizer for farmers by 30%. This was, he said this was misinformation just 4 months ago, even though a lot of people were saying it's in the ag ministry's books, just revealed this week that it is, in fact. So what is Trudeau's legacy here? He wants Canadians to freeze. He wants Canadians to die. He wants Canadians to be impoverished, and he wants Canadians to starve. And this is a horrible legacy for a man who is so self-centered, so narcissistic, and such an actor. We never really know who this man is except a performer on stage who has a script in front of him. And sometimes he clearly doesn't even seem to realize that the script is out of sync with reality. Just so out of sync with reality that even people who have very little in terms of intellect can ascertain that there's a huge problem here with this man. And, yeah, and the Trudeau legacy is completely collapsing through the floor right now.
Well, maybe his misinformation police will go after his own government for putting out misinformation on this ag bill. It'd be amazing to see. David Creighton, thank you so much. Hopefully you won't have to adjust your heat pump there in Ottawa and you'll be able to remain warm this this holiday season. David Creighton, great to see you up there in Canada. Thanks as always.
Thank you so much, Clayton.
Thanks, David. And thanks to all of you for smashing that like button. It really, really helps. I know, say it once in a while, but YouTube has a weird thing in their algorithm where they suppress our show. I got an email from a gentleman, I think Matthew sent me an email today, and he said, hey, Clayton, just want to let you know that YouTube spams your show with ads. They front load your show with ads and they demonetize. You know, we get demonetized, so we don't get money from those things. And then they spam, and then they make money off of it, but you don't. And then they suppress the show. So, yes, that's exactly what happens. So, but when you smash the like button, it actually pushes it out into, when we're live, it actually pushes us further out into the algorithm on YouTube, and more people get to see the show. So it's sort of like us versus them. And, of course, on Rumble, they're a free speech platform. They don't do any of that stuff. So we are here and try to reach as many eyeballs as we possibly can, and, you know, we got to deal with the tyranny of this. Did you see that police department the other day, guys? Did you guys see that story? We covered it in the newsletter where a police department, like they were trying to catch a violent criminal. And they posted the, like, I think the CCTV camera, the hidden, like the footage, they put like, hey, we need your help identifying this guy, this who carried out a violent attack on this person. And they posted it to their YouTube channel, like the police department's YouTube channel. And they had their channel banned.
Yeah.
Like YouTube, like took down a police department's channel because they were trying to catch a criminal, and they're like, unbelievable. Yeah, that's how it works. That's how it works.
But they'll tell you, YouTube will tell you readily that they have live reviewers, that an actual logical thinking person looked at that, and they made the decision that yeah, this should happen.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Hey, we're going to do the hockey story in just a second. I want to get your take on this really unbelievable story, and it's been developing over the past few hours. We're going to get there in a second. But first, I don't know if you saw gold prices today, nearing $2,000 an ounce, and gold is going to continue to go up, in my opinion. Actually, it's not just my opinion. Bank of America says gold is going to hit $3,000 an ounce. It's almost at $2,000 an ounce. Actually, I don't know if you guys know, maybe it hit it today. I don't know, but it was like almost there. And of course, silver price is also surging as well. I'm a huge fan of both of them, but Natalie and I just bought a lot of silver. We store it off-site, and that's one of the things that our friends at Lear Capital can do for you, not just buying gold coins and silver coins and having them shipped to you at your house, but they can also set you up and have it stored off-site and protected for you. And Lear Capital is amazing because if you just get on the phone with them, just give them a call, write this 800 number down, and call them after the show here, after we do our next story, get on the phone with them and get your free gold and silver guide from them, okay? Just have a conversation with them and see if it's a fit for you to convert some of your US dollars or euros or whatever, convert it into real tangible gold and silver. And I saw someone in the chat the other day said, that's great, I want to get gold and silver, but what happens, how do I sell it then? Well, they can help with that. That's very easy to do. And usually, like where we have our gold and silver stored, you can have it converted to cash in about 3 days. So, you know, you want to buy a house, boom, it's converted. You know, it's that simple. So that's why I like actually storing it off-site, because it can be sold very, very fast. And that's not a problem at all. And again, gold and silver have been around for 5,000 years as a fantastic asset. It's sustained famines, collapse of governments. All government currency in world history has collapsed. But gold and silver have not. So, you know, are you think the United States U.S. dollars is going to be the only U.S. dollar, the only dollar ever, currency ever to not fail? Okay, take your chances with that. Or at least convert some of your cash into gold and silver and hard assets like we like real estate, gold and silver. That's what we invest in. So call them today. Give them a call. Right, there's the number on your screen. And just write this down. It's 1-800-613-3557. Or go to learredacted.com. You can go to the website, but I really prefer the phone call. I like to be able to actually talk to a human being. And they'll talk with you about gold and silver and if it's right for you. And if you've got an old 401k or an old IRA just sort of sitting around, you can convert it over to a self-directed account that will allow you to invest in precious metals inside of the self-directed account. So that's what I have. I have a self-directed IRA that invests in real estate and hard assets like gold and silver. So call them today, 1-800-613-3557, or go to learredacted.com. So I hope everyone's having a good Halloween. What do you guys have planned tonight? Are you guys going to do any trick-or-treating stuff? You got the kids or people coming to your house, ringing the doorbell, all that stuff? My little girl.
I will. I have candy and two dogs, so I have to try not to eat all the candy before they start coming, which will probably be, I would assume, 5, 6 o'clock. So it's got to be strong.
My dad, who passed away a few years ago, used to love scaring the crap out of people. So he would dress up in like a scarecrow outfit, and he'd sit on the front patio furniture, kind of like, but he looked like he was a mannequin, and he had this weird mask on, and then the kids would come up, and he'd go, "Whoa!" and they'd scream. And run away. Oh, I loved it. Philip, what are you going to do tonight? Are you doing anything?
So I got my daughter and her friend some like VIP tickets to it's a haunted amusement park. So like a local amusement park does like That's a fun. Haunted house, and so they've got like different events and stuff like that. So we're gonna go hang out there. They're gonna go have all the fun. I don't get much out of the whole walking through the haunted house thing. So I don't really do that. I'm not as much as I love Halloween. It seems like if I don't like candy and I don't like scared like haunted houses, I must not be good at Halloween. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, look, I used to, the jump scares are one thing. I used to do those things. Busch Gardens, when I lived in Florida, I would go down to. So, yeah, I got my Stranger Things thinking cap on tonight, my Hellfire. My kid said, if you joined us late, my kid said, you got to dress up, Daddy, for the show. You got to dress up. So Dustin Henderson from Stranger Things. You can see the thumbnail tonight as a Stranger Things theme from Grimm. But yeah, when I lived in Orlando, we would go down to Busch Gardens. I knew the team that would build out all of Busch Gardens. Did they do like the spooky thing for a month? Do they still do that down in Florida, you guys, at Busch Gardens? Let me know in the comments if anyone knows. But they started planning it from the moment Halloween was over. They would start planning for the next year. And the Busch Gardens in Tampa was crazy. I mean, that was every little pocket land, like different buildings with different themes, like the chainsaw guy. And I mean, It was pretty scary. And then even when you're walking between the different areas, they've got like smoke machines going and guys on stilts, creepy guys on stilts, like walking around, scaring the crap out of you. It was pretty scary. That was a scary time. What's it called down at Busch Gardens? Anyone know? If anyone here knows, I'd be curious. David, do you see it in the chat? Halloween?
I do not.
Yeah, I can't see. Or Universal. Yeah. Hume says, am I in the Hellfire Club? Of course.
Of course. We're all in it.
It's a nerd club. Of course I am. Of course I am. All right, let's talk about this story. Why are the media rushing to defend the hockey player who slashed the throat of another hockey player and killed him? They're also suppressing the video of the attack, which I find really interesting because they don't want you to see the moment that it happened. Over the weekend, hockey player Adam Johnson, who's 29 years old, there he is, suffered a fatal injury during an elite ice hockey game in Sheffield Arena in England. It was caused by an opponent's skate blade that sliced open his neck and cut his windpipe, and he started bleeding out on the ice. It's awful. It's awful footage, and we're not going to show you that moment, but what you can see here is, here's the moment. But we're gonna stop it after it happens. So there is the kick. I want you to watch the guy in red right here at the bottom of your screen, and then watch his leg go right up in the air and kick right into his neck. So here is Adam Johnson on the right, and then Matt Pettigrave on the left is the man who sliced his throat. Now the skate cut right through Adam's windpipe. It cut his carotid artery. And at one point, they thought they'd lost him in the ambulance. Then they brought him back. They got him back briefly. And then he didn't make it through the ambulance ride to the hospital. And they just couldn't get the bleeding to stop, according to his family. It was just way too much blood. Then after Johnson's passing, his team, the Nottingham Panthers, described the incident as, quote, a freak accident. Quote, freak accident. With the media arguing that Sheffield Steelers player Matt Pettigrave, who delivered the fatal blow, required personal support due to unintentionally causing the death. So you're seeing how the media is now saying we really need to come to Matt Pettigrave's support status now. We really all need to rally around Matt and make him feel better because it was a freak accident. And that's how the media is portraying it. It's a freak accident. Here's ABC Eyewitness News. hockey player dies after freak accident in which his throat was cut by a skate blade, as if it was just like a random throat, like a skate blade just happened to pop on by. There was a skate blade that was just randomly there that cut his throat and he died. Then a BBC. Adam Johnson tributes to ice hockey player after, quote, freak accident. It's like they're all on the same, they're all on the same email chain or something. They're all using this freak accident. Is it a freak accident when he just accidentally skates into a totally unnatural, is it a freak accident when he just accidentally skates in a totally unnatural way? Watch him here, putting all of his weight and balance on one leg so that he can fully then extend his other leg and slice into a guy's neck. And he knew he was there. He did it on purpose. Boom. Boom. On purpose. CNN. American ice hockey player Adam Johnson has died following, quote, a freak accident on the ice as he played for English side Nottingham Panthers, the team said in a statement. Freak accident. NBC. American hockey star Adam Johnson has died at age 29 following, quote, a freak accident. I swear to God, every one of these media organizations is on the same email chain. It's unbelievable. Then, mostly peaceful.
And I was just saying, to be fair, like, play devil's advocate or whatever, he might have been aiming for his chest. He might have been. But the fact of the matter is, he kicked him, and that looked intentional, and just happened to hit him in the throat. Like, it may have been accidental, but I don't think that the footage shows that it was accidental that he kicked him. He probably just didn't mean to hit him. Obviously,
yeah, I don't think he tried to kill him. Like, if he,
right,
you know,
exactly.
I don't think he tried. He absolutely, though, it seems, but clear from the video, in my opinion, it seems clear that he tried to absolutely commit a penalty that was
right
outside of the rules of the game and to bring harm to him. In fact, that's how some people are starting to, a lot of hockey players this afternoon are weighing in on this and confirming what I just said. Mostly Peaceful Meme says, it's interesting how strongly the media is running damage control on this story already. Quote, ice hockey player, the Daily Mail, ice hockey player who died accidentally, killed opponent Adam Johnson with his boot blade, is, quote, absolutely distraught and has been receiving vile messages from trolls on social media. Oh, okay. So he's absolutely distraught. Imagine how the hockey player's family feels. But he's distraught. Turns out this guy is Matt Petgrave, and he has a history of these types of behaviors on the ice. In fact, leading the number of penalties per minute for in the league. One of the leaders of penalties per minute. In fact, Robbie Starbuck found this. The guy who cut the player's throat is known to be a dirty player. He had the most penalty minutes last year. Horrific. Just a little bit about him from recently. Petgrave's only problem seems to be with referees and linesmen. He's been booted out of two of the last four games for abuse of officials. An alleged spearing, which is using basically the end of your blade of your hockey stick and shoving it into somebody. And is also Sheffield's top penalty minute taker. He has 71 penalty minutes in 11 games. Across the entire regular league as a whole, nobody comes close to his penalty minutes in tally. So that's the real story. Ah, okay. So now we get to the heart of the story that the media has been trying to hide from you. It's hard to find clips, actually, of him playing hockey because he never played in the NHL. But apparently he loves to do this high kick thing when he misses a check. So he loves to be able to kick players and cause problems. Here he is caught on camera a few years ago getting a penalty doing the very same thing, only this time his leg was a little lower.
Inside on Trichot. He got wiped out by Petgrave. As he cut to the net.
You saw it coming like a freight train. I think Petgrave's a little hurt on the play. Favoring his right leg.
Sir Bench.
Let's take a look at Matt Petgrave's hit. And it's a Wumdinger. You can kind of see it. Kaboom. And they really didn't connect 100%, did they? It was kind of like a side swipe. Wow. That's got some air. There's a ticker tape.
So, however, hockey players all over social media are pointing to video footage of the incident appearing to indicate that Petgrave deliberately extended his leg to strike Johnson with his skate. McDabber, hockey player, says, zoomed in and slowed down. Matt Petgrave should be behind bars. This is not a hockey play, he says. Dan Lyman, I played hockey in college, seen many gruesome injuries, suffered a few myself, never seen anything remotely like this, looks intentional, you be the judge. Paul Revere says, Matt Petgrave, black hockey player, straight up murdered a guy, Adam Johnson, on the ice, and there's no outrage because Matt is black. What the F? Ban and jail immediately. Chad Crowley says, calling the murder of a hockey player, Adam Johnson, a freak accident is like saying the Waukesha Christmas parade attack, Waukesha Christmas attack, was committed by an SUV. Haley Kennington says, we already know what he looks like in prison orange. Matt Petgrave better be charged for this. 100% intentional. I'm sure he didn't mean to kill Adam Johnson, but this was no freak accident. And I think this kind of sums it up. Azteca writes this and said, I've played hockey my whole life. I've never seen anything remotely close to this sick and gruesome. The attacker, Matt Petgrave, player in red, pictured left below, purposely kicks the victim, Adam Johnson, with his skate directly in the throat. Adam, unfortunately, died from his injuries. At this point, Petgrave has not been arrested, has yet to face any consequences. Meanwhile, the disgusting mainstream media is calling this a freak accident. I can assure you there's no possible way this was an accident. Your body doesn't move like this on ice. This was an attempted sidekick to the throat that resulted in a man's death. Please share if you're able. So you can play the footage again to let people see, and you decide yourself what this is. But here he is clearly using all of his weight on one foot, adjusting himself, seeing that he can't actually check and get to the guy. So here's how he's going to take him down. I'm going to hit him in the head with my foot. I'm going to get as close as I can to his neck, do whatever I can to check his body, flying my skate right up into his neck, slicing his windpipe and throat, and then he dies. Blood splurting out all over the ice. It was an awful, awful scene. And of course, we're not going to show you that part of it. But what do you guys think about this? I think the media, though, went immediately into a mode of like, we really need to protect Matt Petgrave's feelings in all of this. And at the very least, looking at his history or taking a moment to breathe and actually looking at this history of this guy, it took independent journalists, it took literally citizen journalists to point out that this guy has a history of penalties. He has a history of doing this exact thing. And apparently it's well known among the players that he has a history of this type of penalty behavior. And so, yes, well, of course, does he intentionally try to kill the guy? I highly, highly, highly doubt it. But he clearly meant to bring harm to the guy. And if you throw your leg up into somebody's face, what do you think is going to happen on an ice skating rink with a skate blade on your foot?
Well, and that just proves that we don't have journalists anymore at all. We have prompter readers, because if you read the headlines, they all said the exact same thing. So what happened is one agency said it and the rest of them just reported it, because they were all trying to be first. They got to beat, you know, CNN has to beat Fox and Fox has to beat NBC and all this other stuff. So it just becomes this free for all to get the information out, and nobody looks into anything. They just repeat what they're told.
Also, interestingly, it's a great point. Also, it appears from sources that I was researching today that professional hockey players were told not to speak about this. There was a gag order that was put out by professional hockey teams saying don't talk about this. So that's interesting. Why were they being told not to comment on this? Not being told to say anything about this?
Because if anybody can analyze like what you can actually do on skates and knowing how to how you maneuver, those would be the people you would want to talk to,
right,
and hear from.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
unless you didn't want to hear what they had to say, you know what I mean? Like if you don't want the truth,
I mean, they were all over Alec Baldwin when he, you know, I mean, think about that, right? They had helicopters flying over the set of that, you know, covering that. Alec Baldwin killed a cameraman, a camerawoman, you know, and will he be charged with manslaughter? And so there's a lot of calls for him to be charged with manslaughter, at least. And now, I think late this afternoon, we got word that the police there are now investigating it. But it took like a media outcry or social media outcry to start actually investigating this guy. And, you know, he should, for one thing, actually be taken off the ice, banned from his banned from playing, and then we'll see what happens next with charges.
I just got to say,
this happened in the UK, right? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want to point out too, like, this is the importance of, like, I have my issues with Elon Musk, I have my issues with the X platform and what's going on, but this is really a testament to how important that being a free speech platform is, because it's because of all the pressure that's coming from that site in most cases that these companies are caving, and the things like this, the police are caving to pressure because you're able to pressure those agencies and stuff. And X has been a great platform for that. I mean, I've seen it happen several times where other, sites are still suppressing that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah, I know. Exactly. Because other news organizations were not showing you the video of what happened. They just showed still images. They didn't want to show what happened in their newscast.
Yeah, I had to search for a really long time today to find that footage.
Oh, it's so hard. And the only footage you're going to find is some grainy video that we, were able to show you. That's it. So,
and I saw the full HD version on Twitter. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, it wasn't pulled down. If you would have posted that on YouTube, you post that on Facebook, you post that anywhere else, and it's gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, other than Rumble and,
So what do you think about this, guys? Double standard, certain people, certain individuals. Did the media rush to judgment on this? And are they covering it up? Let us know your thoughts on this in the comments below. So thank you guys for joining us here on this spooky edition of Redacted. A lot of crazy news happening in the world. We'll keep our eye on Yemen declaring war on Israel. Houthis declaring war on Israel. Iranian-backed Houthi rebels firing rockets into Israel, as well as Lebanon firing rockets at outposts along the Israeli border. Israel pushing in with this massive incursion. And what's going to happen in Egypt? All very, very interesting, which we'll keep our eye on here. I'm going to be traveling tomorrow, so I won't be here. Natalie will be here. So you'll have Natalie on the show tomorrow. And we really appreciate it. We should mention, what's the promo there that you have there, Philip? That's about to run.
I have community or store if you'd like to do either of those.
Oh, yeah. Let's show the store. Let's show the store because we have new merch in our store. So if you want to get one of the I Will Not Comply hoodies or t-shirts, you can. The new Redacted Rebel flag as well. Friends Don't Let Friends Watch Mainstream Media. You can get that mug for a friend. Natalie's favorite, the non-pacifist peace extremist t-shirt. And you can get the stickers and all sorts of other stuff, hoodies, t-shirts, mugs, stickers. Everything is now at theredactedstore.com, and it really helps support us here on the show. We don't mark the prices up at all beyond the production cost. So very, very minimal price markup in order to just support our show. We really try to keep the prices at cost, as close to cost as possible. So go over to redactedstore.com is the place to go and check out all of the merch. All right. I have completely lost my voice, or getting close to losing my voice. So it's time to pack it in. Thank you guys for joining.
Time to toss back some magnesium and
I'm going to have some magnesium right now and go to sleep. Cause we're in Europe right now. And, so it is 9:30 at night here because we had daylight saving this week and then America has it next week. Over the weekend, so then we'll be back on a normal time. So Fred Johnson says, amazing show, Redacted. Much appreciated. Thank you, Fred. Really appreciate it. Jason Hines says, Redacted is the bomb. Appreciate it. Thank you, guys. And thanks to everyone for joining us on this Halloween edition. Hope you have a great Halloween night. If you're doing anything with the family tonight or just gathering around, having some, pizza and candy and hanging out, just be close with your family. Give them hugs. Give them kisses. And we'll see you back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Much love to all of you guys. Have a great night.